You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Too pretty for jail. Yeah, that is the defense. Too pretty to go to jail. And guess what? It's not the first time that "I'm too pretty to go to jail" has actually been uttered in court. Now, in this case, it starts with skipping out on a Chili's bill. You ever been to Chili's? They're awesome. Some people call it fast food. It's not. It's much more than that. But that Chili's bill, just the tip of the iceberg. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111. How did the whole odyssey begin? Take a listen to our friends at KLAS.
Bustami was arrested at Harry Reid Airport in August after skipping out on her restaurant check, threatening to spit on officers, and claiming she was being arrested for being too pretty. Unusual interactions, neighbors say, were all too common.
She would come outside and literally spin in her driveway singing songs.
She was wanted for skipping out on a Chili's tab at Reid International Airport, but per the arrest report, she claims she was being harassed because cops had never seen anyone as pretty as her. This is Hen Bustami, who was arrested near baggage claim last week. Turns out she had an arrest warrant from Las Vegas Municipal Court. Bustami was uncooperative while being detained. She was later booked into Clark County Detention Center.
Too pretty for jail. Well, of course, it's not the first time we've heard that before, but just hold this thought just a moment. Too pretty for jail. Joining us, David Charnes, investigative reporter, KLAS 8 News Now. That's not pretty. Threatening to spit on or spitting on a cop and crapping out on your Chili's bill? What's pretty about that?
What we saw in that arrest report that we obtained, someone who was hanging out at the airport, Las Vegas is a busy place. People are coming in and out all the time. We get reports all the time of people doing things at the airport, but this one sort of stood out a little because on page 2, it said she refused to be arrested, or she was getting arrested because she was too pretty. And the whole reason police started talking to her was because she reportedly skipped out on that bill.
David Charnes joining us, investigative reporter, KLAS 8. You know, you think if you're going to commit a crime, you wouldn't do it at, for instance, a casino or at FBI headquarters in Quantico or at an airport where there are surveillance cameras everywhere you turn. But she did. She skipped out on a Chili's bill. Now, let me understand something. Was the Chili's inside the airport?
The Chili's was inside the airport, and there are a lot of police who walk through the airport. It's a busy place, millions of people a year. And this was just someone who was doing some strange behaviors, and police went up and wanted to talk to her.
Turns out she was the food thief. I wonder what she ordered. Guys, again, this is not the first time we've heard the "I'm too pretty" defense. Does the name Lauren Cutshaw ring a bell? Listen to our friends at Inside Edition.
She said she was just too pretty to go to jail when she was arrested for DUI.
I'm a pretty girl. Please don't make me go in there.
And now it seems a judge agrees. 34-year-old Lauren Cutshaw is being given a sweet deal, no jail time, and she even gets to keep her driver's license. Cutshaw, a real estate agent from South Carolina, was pulled over after cops say she blew through a stop sign, going more than twice the speed limit.
Put your hands behind your back. All right, you're under arrest for driving under the influence.
Okay, she was DUI, blows through a stop sign, but the judge actually let her off. I guess he also thought she was too pretty. Did you hear her whining, I guess, in the seat of her car? I'm a pretty girl. Please don't make me go in there. Boo-hoo, woman. Well, let's take a listen to more.
Her bratty whining on the way to jail went viral last year.
I graduated from a really good university. I was almost a valedictorian. Well, I graduated with 3.8 in my high school. I got a scholarship to my college. I was an All-American cheerleader. was beat my whole life. Don't put me in jail. I'm a pretty girl. Please don't make me go in there.
We're now learning she has pled guilty to misdemeanor DUI. She was fined $187 and ordered to perform 24 hours community service and take alcohol safety classes.
Okay, let's make sure I understand this. Joining me, Kirk Nurmi, legal analyst and former lead counsel to none other than Miss Jody Arias, who was called a bombshell, gorgeous, sexy, seductive, blah, blah, blah. He's author of Trapped with Ms. Arias, and you can find him on Twitter and Insta at Nurmi Unchained. Kirk Nurmi, your client is also guilty of thinking she was too pretty to be prosecuted. Did she just believe everybody was going to fall for her line about the murder of Travis Alexander, hook, line, and sinker, because she was attractive? Other people think she's attractive, not me, but apparently she did too. What about it, Nurmi?
Well, let me tell you, I think one thing I see with a lot of female criminals, and we've heard it just here in the tape you just played, is a level of narcissism that they believe that they should be able to get away with anything and their excuses will hold water. And when they start to not hold water, they become the victim of their own actions and don't realize or don't think that anyone's going to hold them to account. I think we see that over and over again with a lot of these females.
Karen Stark joining me, renowned psychologist, joining us out of Manhattan at KarenStark.com. That's Karen with a C. Karen, have you seen those studies I have that show when a defendant or a person in general, not necessarily a criminal defendant, are attractive, they get better treatment? Just like that bratty woman, Cutshaw, you hear whining, I had a 3.8 average. I was a cheerleader. Don't send me to jail. I'm a pretty girl. They actually do get away with it.
Yeah. Well, people who are good looking get away with a lot more than other people, Nancy. But what you have here, and remember, it was the same covering Jody, is somebody who has a narcissist without a doubt and has such a strong sense of entitlement. And that's not uncommon. I mean, she really fits the textbook where she's preoccupied with fantasies of beauty and believes that she's special and she needs admiration, envious of others and believes that they're envious of her. It all fits who this person is. And she's dangerous because she feels that she's above the law.
You know, just a quick question. You and Nurmi are throwing around the term narcissistic, which of course is named after the mythological character of Narcissus, who fell in love with his own reflection in a pool. But didn't Narcissus die in the end of the story? What happened to Narcissus at the end of that? Does anybody know? I mean, Karen Stark, you throw around the term narcissistic all the time, but Sydney has just refreshed my recollection. Narcissus died staring into his own reflection, and it reminds me of the mirror of Erised in Harry Potter, where you see yourself and your deepest desires, you see yourself as you want to be, and people look at it so long they just starve to death and die. They can't leave it. So my point is, Kirk Nurmi, let's talk about Jody Arias, your client, for much longer than you wanted. So attached to her looks. I remember she's charged with murder and the state's seeking the death penalty. She gives an interview against your wishes, and she's caught on camera putting on face powder and lipstick. She's worried about her face powder when she's looking at death by needle. She's staring into the mirror, literally, to her death. I mean, did she ever try to use her charms, her beauty on you? And did it work? Let's be honest, just a little bit.
Well, I don't know if she tried, but I certainly know it didn't work, Nancy, because when I know somebody's a killer, any charms are falling by the wayside. But you're right, you know, and we talked about narcissism. Image was always very important in this area. She talked about the clothing, the interviews. It actually predated my tenure as a lawyer. But yeah, that was always a big deal to her. And I think that flows along with this idea of this narcissistic female criminal that we've been talking about here today.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Lisa Daddio joining us, former police lieutenant, New Haven PD, and now the director of the Center for Advanced Policing and graduate program coordinator, University New Haven Investigation Program. Lisa, thank you for being with us. Lisa, talking about being beautiful and using that as a weapon, believing that you are somehow immune to prosecution, you don't have to go to jail because you're so pretty. It's not pretty to spit on police officers. Have you ever been spat on?
Thankfully, no. But
I've had a lot of cops, practically every cop I know, somebody has spit on them.
Well, what I was going to say is I haven't been, but my partner who had responded with me had been. And so, you know, Nancy, it's one of those things that is just so despicable. So whether or not you think you're so pretty and so beautiful that you should not have to pay the consequences, spitting on somebody speaks volumes about the type of person you are on the inside.
I was talking about Cutshaw earlier, the one you hear whining about her, how beautiful she is and her 3.8 grade average as when she was a cheerleader in college. Well, it worked on a judge, believe it or not. But I would have to say the all-time winner for I'm Too Pretty for Jail would have to be Deborah LaFave, charged with child molestation. Take a listen to our friends at Crime Online.
An argument made in a Florida courtroom by Deborah LaFave's attorney, John Fitzgibbons, led to most of the Too Pretty for Jail headlines that ran with most of the news coverage of her case. Fitzgibbons said in court, "To place Debbie into a federal state women's penitentiary, to place an attractive young woman in that kind of hellhole is like putting a piece of raw meat in with the lions."
Okay, so she is supposed to be treated differently than everybody else. I can distinctly remember a photo in which Deb LaFave posed in a bikini. I think she's straddling a motorcycle, a hog, possibly. Yeah, okay. That said, take a listen to more from our friends at Daily Mail.
Deborah LaFave, a Florida high school English teacher who had sex with her 14-year-old student. 1 year later, she pled guilty to two counts of lewd and lascivious behavior involving a minor. The public outcry was tremendous. 24 years old at the time, LaFave blamed her actions on being bipolar and hypersexualized, claiming she had been raped when she was a teen. Her attorney famously told the judge she was too pretty for prison. In the end, LaFave pled guilty to lewd and lascivious behavior. She was sentenced to just 3 years house arrest, but branded a sex offender.
You know, there was a teacher arrested 2 days after me, and I saw her on TV once.
So why do you think you got all the attention?
I don't know.
I'll say it. Do you think it's because you're pretty?
I think so. And sex sells.
The other teacher probably didn't make headlines because she was repentant. She felt bad about what had happened. She was remorseful. And she also didn't say, "I'm too pretty for jail." You were hearing not only our friends at Inside Edition, but also our friends at Today Show. Deb LaFave is a child predator. And yet she is saying she's being punished because she is pretty, much the same way as Hen Bustami is right now. And it's not just about a Chili's bill. What's that, $30, $40? I want to take a listen to what this is all about. Why is this happening and why is it working? Another thing, you heard our friend Jessie Palmer at Daily Mail state she had sex with a student. You can't have sex with a minor. That is statutory rape because a minor is not, under the law, able to give consent. And I want to go to you, Kirk Nurmi. You're the high-profile lawyer. Why is it that a minor, anyone under the age of consent, which in many states is 18, why can't a minor have consensual sex with an adult?
Same reason we don't issue them a driver's license or the right to smoke or the right to drink is because they're not developed enough to make their own solid choices. And so different states have different regulations regarding the age of consent. They vary per state, but each state makes that moral choice of when a person is able to make an informed decision in that regard.
Yet the I'm too pretty for jail defense seemingly worked. And trust me, it's not just women that are making this claim. Take a listen to our friend Gloria Gomez, Fox 13.
It inspired a movement.
You're too cute. I fell in love with a criminal.
On social media.
Several outlets reporting that a number of people talk about his eyes, calling him too cute.
The hashtag Justice for Cameron Herron and Free Cameron would trend on Twitter and TikTok. Herron's attorney denies he or his client's family had anything to do with it. Tech experts say some Twitter accounts are legit, while others are actually internet bots. Herron is appealing the judge's sentence, calling it excessive.
Too cute for jail. I fell in love with a criminal. Too cute for jail. Hashtag justice for Cameron Herron and free Cameron because he's, quote, cute. You know what Cameron Herron did? Well, listen, our friends WTSP.
Police say this Mustang was speeding northbound along Bayshore in a race against another car when it hit 24-year-old Jessica Reisinger as she was pushing a stroller with her 21-month-old baby. Now, the driver of that car and the driver of the Nissan it was racing, they did stay at the scene, but it was too late for that mom. She and her baby were taken to TGH not far from the scene where the mom was pronounced dead. Now, the baby is still alive, but she is really fighting to survive.
Yet a movement ensued online. Now, this is after the mom is mowed down dead and the baby's life hanging in the balance at intensive care. I still say he got a sweetheart deal. Take a listen to our Cut 12.
Cameron Herron would decide to do an open plea and let the judge decide his fate.
All right.
The judge had the final say.
So on count one, vehicular homicide, the court's going to adjudicate the defendant guilty, sentence him to 9 years in the Florida State Prison. On count two, same charge, court will adjudicate the defendant guilty, sentence him to 15 years Florida State Prison.
So on a 15-year sentence, he'll be out in about 7-8 years. Yet his lawyer insists that that was much too harsh for a client as cute as Cameron Herron. Okay, back to the current case. And as a backdrop, the movement of too cute for jail. You know, to you, Lisa Daddio, when you deal with cases like Herron's where you see a mom in a stroller mowed down on the side of the road, and then you have a petition online claiming the defendant is too cute for jail, and you've got the little baby in NICU gasping for life. I mean, how does that make you feel as the arresting officer?
It's infuriating. And it makes me pause and think, what the heck is wrong with this country when you have that kind of mentality that it's an excuse why somebody shouldn't be held responsible for the horror that they've inflicted among, you know, on the victims, the families, witnesses, everybody.
No, David Charnes joining me, investigative reporter, KLAS 8 News Now. I'm looking at the current case, Han Bustami, in her 20s, she is pretty. Even I, who never think any defendant is pretty or attractive, I've got to say, I think she's attractive. She's got long, beautiful, dark hair, big brown eyes, perfect eyebrows, and a perfect mouth. I mean, it looks like somebody drew it on, and it's all natural. So where did this woman get the idea? Uh-oh, here she is in a swimsuit. Okay, yeah, somebody's been spending a lot of time at the gym. So David Charnes, where does this come from? I'm too pretty for jail.
So we know that Han Bustami worked as a DJ in the Las Vegas area. I believe she's originally from California, came to Las Vegas with her family. Definitely lives a lifestyle here where she knows a lot of people. We heard from past colleagues and friends who say, you know, sort of what you were alluding to, she's a girl who likes to have fun. We know that she had a battery charge several months ago at a nightclub. So I think someone who's young and free and enjoys, you know, living her life here.
Whoa, wait a minute. a battery charge at a bar. What?
She has a battery charge that was that original warrant, which is what police were talking to her about at the airport.
Tell me about the battery incident.
So what we know about the battery right now, and those court documents are hard to find, and they're looking for them. She was actually charged with battery for getting into some sort of argument with security at an event space here in Las Vegas back in June. And I don't know the exact specifics other than she was charged with battery, and then she went to court, and then she missed court this summer.
Can I just analyze what David Charnes, joining us from KLAS 8, said? Catherine Maloney is joining me, Deputy Chief Medical Examiner out of Erie County. That's in Buffalo. She's at NickelCityForensics.com. Now, think about this woman, Han Bustami, too pretty for jail. She's at an event where they have alcohol, and she actually takes on the security guards. Hey, David, was that in California?
That was in Las Vegas.
Vegas. Okay, Catherine, security guards in Vegas, they're as big as a fridge. They're huge. They look menacing. They're like beefy Doberman pinschers. This woman is so convinced of her beauty, she takes on security guards and has a battery claim, not against the security guards, against her. Typically, Catherine Maloney, it's just the opposite. It's the other way around. You got a big, beefy guy beating on a woman. You don't usually see this reversal, doctor.
I mean, it's definitely not what you'd expect to see. I mean, especially if you think that she thought she was so beautiful, you think that she would try to win him over with honey as opposed to
vinegar.
Starting a fight. Well, vinegar, yeah.
Yeah, so remember, honey,
really
you
sure
track more flies with honey
is.
Than vinegar.
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, when you look at a woman's physique compared to a man, it's almost impossible for a woman using just her fists to win a fight against a man. Doctor?
I mean, definitely the average woman is smaller than the average man. I mean, there are exceptions to that general rule, obviously, but looking at the pictures of her that were posted, she definitely doesn't look like she's the type of person that could take on a Las Vegas security guard.
Two of them, Kirk Nurmi, after dealing with murder defendant Jodi Arias for months and months and months, I guarantee you this is what happened. She went up to these security guards for what, to get in, for getting a drink without a license, I don't know, for something, thinking she could win them over with her charm, and it didn't work. I guarantee you she slapped one of them. What about it, Nurmi?
Yeah, I guarantee you that that's exactly what happened, Nancy. And I think what we really have here is we're painting a picture of a woman who can't take no for an answer, who will not accept no to what she wants, that kind of narcissistic urge. And once somebody says no, doesn't fall for her charms, then we have violence ensue.
Have you guys seen her LinkedIn photo? I mean, this woman could be a model. Jackie, have you seen her LinkedIn?
I did.
She's perfect. Her teeth are perfect. David Charnes, KLAS, is she living at home with her mom?
She is. We know that she lived at home with her mother. I'm not 100% sure how long her mother lived here, but she had been here for several years, and they did live together in a what we would call the suburbs here in Las Vegas, you know, not on the strip, far away in a community.
Now, so you're basically telling me in a much nicer way that she's a gorgeous young party girl that is a DJ sometimes and lives with her mother. Is that right, David Charnes?
That is what appears to be true, yes.
So she's basically got the golden ticket. Mommy's letting her live at home. She plays at being a DJ. And I guarantee you, uses that position as a DJ to get in all sorts of exclusive parties and gatherings, like the one where she had the altercation with the security guards. And I want to point out, and correct me if I'm wrong, David Charnes, when she was first taken into custody there at, I guess, the baggage claim at the airport, she claimed the cops were perverts and that they were trying to rape her because they had never seen anyone as good looking.
That is correct.
I'm quoting the police report because I'm looking right at it right here. Okay, and this is all over Bustami walking out on a tab at the Chili's restaurant inside the airport. She became belligerent and accused them of wanting to rape her because she was, quote, wait, because they had, quote, never seen anyone as good looking. Okay, what more do we know about this person? Take a listen to our friends, KLAS.
Neighbors waking up around 2:30 a.m. Police finding a deceased 68-year-old woman covered in lacerations and blood. But they didn't find her daughter, 28-year-old Hend Bustami, who they say first called in the death before abruptly hanging up.
Usually 10 o'clock or later, they would just be screaming in the backyard or they'd be fighting. And
Andres Moreno, who lives nearby, says the house in question was the loudest on the block.
Yeah, I could always hear the screaming and yelling, so I just try to keep to myself. And of course, shortly after, you know, the screaming, their police presence would be involved and things would get, you know, would get settled down. And then a week later, it happened again.
Police records showing officers were called there 12 times just this year, mostly for family disturbances.
So apparently her mother did not think the I'm too pretty to behave excuse was working either. The neighbors could hear them arguing over and over and over. They were the loud ones in the neighborhood. Well, the mother was afraid, and she had good reason to be. Take a listen to this 911 call.
We're on her friend, but her work called for emergency contact, which is another friend, and we're all looking for her. She's not answering. She has not showed up to work. And when she called me last night going home, she was scared, and that was the last time I spoke to her. She's the one who actually was arrested at the airport and said, you're arrested for good looks. It's all over the news.
Karen Stark, I don't know if you remember the case of Heather Mack. This is reminding me of that so much. Heather Mack's mother was married to I believe she was a college professor. She was married to a famous jazz musician, and they had Heather, their only child. And they treated her like a princess. But police often came to the home because Heather Mack had her own mother living in fear. She would slap her, would yell at her, would berate her. Finally, in a last-ditch effort to make amends and put their relationship back together, the mom takes Heather Mack on an all-expense-paid luxury vacation to Bali. And then after they've been there a few days, the bellhop notices a bag out front, a huge piece of luggage, and blood is seeping from it. Heather Mack and her boyfriend had actually killed the mother. Like we're hearing in this case with Bustami, in the Heather Mack case, there were 86 911 calls made. And the mom ends up dead. This is quite a phenomenon of the daughter berating and attacking the mother.
Not something that anyone would expect, right, Nancy? Usually you feel like there's this unbelievable bond between a mother and a child. But we're talking about a person who has no empathy, feelings, doesn't really understand that kind of connection or have the ability to even feel for her mother or love her mother. And so this callous act, which none of us can really empathize with or share, this is nothing to that daughter. There's no feeling about killing a mother, stuffing her in a suitcase. It's absolutely like she took a doll, ripped it apart, and put it in the suitcase. No different.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Talisa Daddio, our former police lieutenant in New Haven PD, matricide is very, very rare. And when matricide, the murder of your mother, occurs, it's usually a son that commits the murder. A daughter murdering her mother is almost unheard of, Lisa.
Nancy, you hit the nail on the head. It's so rare to see that. And, you know, if it does happen, you try to look for those triggers and the signs and, you know, what was there along the way for a daughter to have that much hatred to kill her mother. it's honestly just astonishing.
Guys, I want you to take a listen to Hen Bastami and her 911 call, and this has nothing to do with the battery on a security guard at a sophisticated party or walking out on a Chili's tab. Listen.
Do you need police, fire, or medical?
Medical. I think I killed my mommy.
What's your address?
South June Flower Drive.
Go south what?
June Flower Drive.
Why do you think you killed your mom?
Because I did. I murdered her.
How did you do that?
I broke the table on her head and I burnt it.
You did what with the table? Can I get medical? Medical 8759. Where are you?
I'm at my mom's house. I'm giving you the address.
You said with June Flower.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you do to her?
I killed her.
How did you kill her? You said something about a table?
I broke the table on your head.
You dropped the table on her head?
I broke the table on her head and I cut her neck off.
And you cut what?
Her neck off.
Where are you at now?
I'm in the hotel. I think in the water.
I can hear her saying something about the water. Take a listen to our friends KLAS.
The 911 call a 28-year-old woman made after she reportedly killed her mother inside their South Valley home. Now, in that call, police say 28-year-old Hen Bastami calmly described how she killed her mother before hanging up. Now, we do want to warn you, the details might be disturbing.
Why do you think you killed your mom?
Because I did. I murdered her.
How did you do that?
I broke the table on her head.
Bastami told police she used shards of glass from a broken table to allegedly stab her mother. After describing what happened, Bastami hung up.
Now remember, regardless of how you may think she sounds on the 911 call, Bastami is a graduate of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas with a full degree in hospitality administration and management, and she is also a DJ, appropriately, who goes under the name Aphrodite, or Aphrodite, who is, of course, the goddess of beauty. She named herself that. David Charnes, an investigative reporter, KLAS, exactly how did she allegedly murder her mother?
So what we can tell from the police report and obviously the very disturbing 911 call there is police believe that Hen Bastami took a glass table that was in a living room and broke it over her mother's head. And then, as you heard her describe there, take shards of the table and then stab her mother with that. We understand her mom was found with several stab wounds and cuts, and as Hen Bastami described in the call herself, she said she cut her neck off. So definitely a gruesome, very violent act that allegedly happened in there. And then, as you heard her describe, and you heard the beeping of the car in the 911 call, she then got in the car and drove to California.
Much like your client, Kirk Nurmi, counsel to Jody Arias after murdering Travis Alexander, hops in the car, drives across the desert, and literally hops on and straddles her next boyfriend.
Yeah, you know, we can see that, you know, even though she is confessing to this, describing it, you can't see that she really is that disturbed by what she's doing. She's heading off, she's done with it, and she's moved on. And I think that just goes to this whole narcissistic idea that, you know, she was justified in what she did and it was time for her to move on and get on with her life.
And get away from the murder scene. Dr. Catherine Maloney is joining us, Deputy Chief Medical Examiner, Erie County Medical Examiner's Office. That's in Buffalo. And you can find her at NicholsCityForensics.com. Dr. Maloney, the force it would have taken to pick up one of those glass paneled coffee tables and crash it down over her mother's head, that would require a lot of physical strength and force.
I mean, I would think so. Those types of tables are very heavy, and especially if her mother was even sitting, she'd have to lift it up several feet in the air.
And then taking shards of the glass and stabbing her mother over and over. Dr. Maloney, I believe, and as a layperson, you're the MD, I'm just a JD, that the mother had to know what was happening. If she had been killed by just the blow to the head, I do not believe that Bustami, her daughter, would have continued to stab her. I think she was alive, maybe stunned, but that she knew what was happening to her.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know. You know, it's really hard to say. You would hope that she didn't know what was happening, but yeah, I don't know.
Back to David Charnes, about how many stab wounds do we know the mother suffered?
Police described it as multiple lacerations, which would mean scrapes, and then it was sort of revised to say that she had had cuts as well, because according to the coroner, she died of multiple stab wounds. I don't know how many, but as we know from covering these cases before, and as you sort of alluded to before, these are usually crimes of passion. So generally we see multiple stab wounds. And it was enough for Hen Bustami, when she was arrested eventually in California, to be, as police described, just covered in blood.
Guys, take a listen to Candice Charles.
Around 2:30 Wednesday morning, 911 dispatch got a call from a woman saying her mother was dead. Then the call disconnected. When they arrived, they found a 62-year-old woman dead.
We then started looking for the vehicle and the daughter. CHP was able to locate, stop her, take her into custody about 5 a.m. this morning in Barstow, California.
As neighbors started to hear the news, some tell me they were shocked, but that this was not the first time police were here.
She was in handcuffs in front of the house. Fire trucks came. I'm guessing she started a fire.
Our neighbor said that incident happened a couple of months ago.
So cops have been called over and over to the home. It culminated in the murder of Bustami's mother. Take a listen to our friends at KLAS 8.
The 28-year-old woman accused of killing her mother in the home they shared reportedly confessed to the crime and was covered in blood during her arrest.
Right now, Hen Bustami is in a California jail. Police say she called them early Wednesday morning saying, quote, "I think I killed my mommy." The victim was reportedly stabbed several times with shards of glass.
California Highway Patrol caught up with Bustami in Barstow, California. We don't know yet when she will be brought back to Las Vegas.
Too pretty for jail? We'll see about that. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.